A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and he led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still talking when, lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud spoke, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This coming October, the Synod of Bishops will meet in Rome to discuss the topic of the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church. This theme is something that I think you are already probably interested in if you are listening to these daily homilies on the Scriptures. But we can always do more to deepen our love for the Bible, as well as to encourage others to plunge into this fathomless Word of God. Today, as I ponder the mystery of the Transfiguration, something totally new comes to my mind. This enthralling scene speaks to me of the need for unity, the full communion of God's people. I think these thoughts are spurred by Pope Benedict XVI's desire and tireless efforts for unity with the Orthodox churches, and his repeated reaching out to our Jewish brothers and sisters. For we see in the Transfiguration Christ as the center of the universe and cosmos, the center of Christian ecumenism, the center of interreligious dialogue. The Transfiguration is a favorite event in Christ's life for the Orthodox Christians. They are drawn much more to the contemplative aspect of religion than active Westerners. They prefer to speak of the mysteries of Christ's life rather than just the events or mighty deeds. They are at home with mystery and mystical realities. One of the favorite depictions among icons is this experience of the Transfiguration. Eastern Christians seem to prefer a glorious divine Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, to a human, bloody, suffering Son of Man. To ponder today's mystery is also to sink into our Jewish roots. One of the popes of the early 20th century said that we are all spiritual Semites. To put down or neglect the Old Testament is to be cut off from our own spiritual foundation. And as the Catechism of the Catholic Church quotes Augustine as reminding us of the importance of both Testaments, for that great doctor said, The new is hidden in the old, and the old is revealed in the new. Jesus on the mountain is the pinnacle and fulfillment of the Old Law and Prophets, represented by the figures of Moses and Elijah, almost subservient to him in the vision. They are also symbols of the living and the dead. Elijah, who did not die but was taken up to heaven in a fiery chariot, and Moses, who died before entering the promised land. These two figures are discussing with Christ his approaching passing, his Passover, his Exodus. When Jesus will be revealed and sacrificed as the true Paschal Lamb of God, leading all who follow him to freedom from the bondage of sin. They are on a mountaintop, signifying closeness to God. At the close of the Theophany or Revelation, the cloud, the Shekinah glory of God, overshadows them, as it did over Moses at Mount Sinai, as it led the Israelites during the desert trek, as it came to Elijah outside the cave, as it hovered over the abyss at the beginning of God's creation, as it overshadowed Mary at the Annunciation. The Transfiguration inaugurates a new stage in salvation history, the new creation of the redemption. Matthew and Mark say it took place 6 days later, that is, after Peter's confession of faith, while Luke writes that it was 8 days later. Though they sound different, they really end up being the same day. Scholars say that Matthew and Mark are using a Jewish reckoning, while Luke uses a Gentile one. Either way, it is the Lord's Day of the new creation. In Jewish terms, God rested on the seventh day, that is, 6 days after the previous event. And in Gentile terms, the eighth day was, for early Christians, a term for the day of resurrection. And this event of the Transfiguration ends with Jesus saying, "When the Son of Man is raised from the dead." One of the favorite depictions among icons in the three apostles observing this amazing scene, we see images of the church, Peter and the Petrine, or hierarchical ministry, John, the charismatic contemplative, caring for the Marian dimension of the church, and James, the missionary and first apostle to be martyred, as recorded in the New Testament. At the infancy of Christianity, there were Jewish disciples and Gentile disciples, but only one assembly, kahal, ecclesia. Let us ponder deeply the mystery of the transfigured Christ, who desires us to be one people, Catholic and Orthodox, Christian and Jew, his one holy people. Let us go up to the mountain of prayer and long for the overshadowing of the glorious cloud of the Holy Spirit, begging for the wisdom and understanding to walk the path to unity. This year, dedicated to St. Paul, is a wonderful time of grace to immerse ourselves in the Scriptures, to see all the connections between the Old and New Testaments. Everything in them points to Christ, the center of creation. Just as he stood at the center of this assembly of Israel in Moses and Elijah, and the assembly of the new church in the three apostles. on Mount Tabor.